You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
The Patriots' choice and globalists' dread. Welcome to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I'm proud and honored to be sitting in for Alex Jones for the rest of the hour. I'm so happy and honored to have been on the InfoWars platform now for a couple of years. All the great people I meet out there on the campaign trail and playing basketball in the summers. Look, we're just regular people. You know, we say some pretty deep things. You know, we say some things that make you think. We question some narratives, but that's what it's supposed to be. You know, it's funny. I'm sitting right here and I look over and I got a little something going on in my system. And I got my bottle of ivermectin. I mean, you know, these people are so brazen. They really try to tell us ivermectin was horse medicine. Not to say that there is an ivermectin that they do give to farm animals and horses, but I mean, I don't have to go back over the history. We know who these people are. They knew. The FDA knew. The FDA knew that ivermectin has had more success with treating human sickness than almost any other drug in the world. They knew when they lied then. The lie wasn't ignorance, it was arrogance. This is who these people are, and they believe in themselves, and they're arrogant. And on top of the lie, they're arrogant about it. They're pompous about it. They're brazen. And so if you're out there and you really believe that Alex Jones is the great threat to society, you got to ask yourself, what side of the line are you actually on? And yeah, I'm not talking to the InfoWar audience. When I come on and I go to guest host, I like to talk straight to the deep state and all of the people who may be watching from outside of our nucleus. So we know these things. We're okay with the idea of globalists and the term globalists. The Star Tribune here in the Twin Cities, they made the claim that globalism was a dog whistle for anti-Semitism. I go, wait a second, there's globalists from all walks of life. We know who these people are. But like Alex said, everybody all around the world doesn't know. But they're waking up. They're waking up slowly but surely. And sometimes it happens all at once. And that's how avalanches go. That's how turns of the tide go. It happened back in 2016. And then they regrouped. Understand what happened. In 2016, Donald Trump came on the scene like a firestorm. He hit the scene, and people all across the country for a moment they blinked. They said, "Wait a second, and this guy's saying some stuff that makes a lot of sense. It's simple, I can understand it. Immigration, trade went number one and number two, just like it's going now. Well, what did they do in 2020? What did they do?" From 2016, when Donald Trump took office, all the way to until now, 8 years they've been working on one man. 8 years they've marshaled resources from every corner of the world, from every corner of the world's media, from every corner of the world's medical and military industrial complex, from every corner of the intelligence communities, of the Five Eyes. They've marshaled all their resources in coordination to try and smear one man. I don't know what else you would need to vote for him, honestly. There's no way you can actually believe that he's the danger to democracy that they say he is. He was in the office for 4 years, and nothing happened with democracy. Some people got exposed. That's what happened. Some of the corruption in our democracy got exposed. There was some sunlight shed on some of the dark, decrepit abyss of Washington, D.C., from Washington, D.C., all the way there to Davos and Brussels and on to Beijing. Some people were exposed for who they really are. Some questions were asked, some hard questions that never got answered, by the way. There was just obfuscation from those people, a lot of those people. They threw it back on Donald Trump. But we've watched this mainstream media and this permanent political class make Donald Trump America's most wanted man, most hated man, most opposed political figure in recent American history. I got to be honest, even and we reference JFK a lot. And we love to see RFK come over. And I hate to see that RFK's family members are still such sellouts, and they are. And I got some in my own family myself, not in my immediate family, but we all had, trust me, if you had a family member that came through this Marxist public education, or they're jacked into this communist mainstream media, you're gonna be at odds with some family members when you start talking and speaking the truth. That's just how it goes. But RFK, the Kennedy family has been selling Kennedy down John down the water since he was killed. To be honest, go back and listen to what the Kennedy family was saying in the wake of John and RFK's death. A lot of them on the record shilling for the very intelligence community that we now know was at least somewhat involved in the assassinations, both of them, in my opinion. And, oh, Donald Trump says he's going to release the files. And on that basis alone, I mean, if you're 33 to 75 years old, if you're in that age group that still has some type of cultural, let's say, affection and familiarity with just how significant John F. Kennedy was as a political figure and how how traumatic that assassination was, is RFK, even Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, the four martyrs. If you remember that, or you have any real cultural familiarity, historical familiarity with that, you want to vote for Donald Trump. When has Kamala Harris said that she's going to release the John F. Kennedy files? The assassination files. She hadn't said it once because she doesn't plan to. And that tells you a great deal about who she's allied with, who her allegiances are, where her priorities are. So, yeah, when we say the deep state, there is a deep state. I did a PBS Frontline interview over the last couple of weeks. They're doing a project, American Voices. I was a part of it back in 2020 when I led these Minnesotans and Twin City residents to the Federal Reserve after George Floyd died. And I'm damn proud that I did. And when the MAGA movement and the conservative movement and the Republican Party starts to prioritize and reactivate their grassroots movements in the streets and takes back the streets from the Marxists and the leftists and the communists, then all of this stuff will be right out there in the open. It won't just be the Alex Joneses of the world and the people of this audience that have this silent majority. No matter what happens on November 5th, as a movement, we need to take this from being a silent majority to a loud majority. I'm tired of being a part of the silent majority. I'm tired of you being a part of the silent majority. That's part of that. Understand, that helps the narrative. That helps the scam. When the majority is silent, that helps them rig elections. There's something about that physical, visual presence that aids the consensus of the public. And we have to start to play the game at that level because it is a game. We're in a war. We're in an asymmetrical culture war with our own elites here in this country and other forces all around the world. And yeah, perception isn't everything. Let's be clear. That's not a Christian principle or ethic. Perception isn't reality, but perception is a factor. It's a factor we must consider. And we can never forego the principles or the morals for the perception. And that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking you to do what your founding fathers called you to do. Be out there in the streets these last 14 days. Be out there in the streets. You wear your Trump gear. Here in Minnesota, if you're in Minnesota, you send an email right now to RoyceWhite.us. You reach out to my direct messages on X or on Instagram or on Facebook or somewhere. We're going to be putting out an event page later on today for a car rally that's going to go around the Twin Cities on the Sunday before the election. Let the people see it. Let the people hear it. Bring your motorcycles. Bring your pickup trucks. Bring your Trump flags. Bring your American flags. Bring your MAGA flags. Bring your Royce White for Senate flags, your T-shirts, your Bregalia. Don't hide. Let these people hear it. Let them see it. That's how they use Black Lives Matter to assume that all black people are voting Democrat. But now we know they're not. Now we can question whether they ever really were. Even CNN goes back to their chart and say, since Barack Obama in 2009, the Democrats have lost almost 40% of their support, 40 points worth of support from black men 18 to 44. And I said this the other day on my podcast. Isn't it ironic that black men ages 18 to 44 are disproportionately involved in violent crime? There's nothing racist about saying that, especially if you're a black man who came from that community. I know good and well I got a better chance of being a victim of a violent crime from another black man than I do a white cop. That doesn't excuse dumb cops that do dumb things on the job, but it is a reality. But there's still optimism in that, because despite that demographic being the number one perpetrator of violent crimes, that's the demographic that's moving from the Democratic Party the fastest. Why do you think that is? That goes back to that spiritual intuition of God's design. Young black men 18 to 44 are leading the charge. They may, in fact, save this country. Isn't that poetic? Isn't that poetic that it may be young black men 18 to 44 who have become the symbol, the image of what can be the most sad and unfortunate circumstance in our country may be the ones that save it? Why? They don't want to be down there in those communities victim to that type of lifestyle. They want access to the American dream. They want to do things. They want to have a life. They want to have families. They want to have a small business. They want to contribute to society. And the music industry had them, you know, it had them in that trance since the early 90s. And that was the advent. Ice Cube said it. Even himself, as one of the founding fathers, you could say, of gangster rap, of rap music and gangster rap music. Even he said it now. Ah, man, when I really think about what the music industry has done to the black community, it promoted violence and a